Dan Kalik. However, he is part of a congregation that is run by a man that I respect tremendously. Eitan Shishkov made Aliyah probably about 15 years ago, maybe longer.
Over 20.
Yeah, it's supposed to be only when you're having fun, though. Over 20 years, my. And probably has the most successful ministry in Israel. Last time I stayed with Eitan, his congregation was just thriving. It was a wonderful place to be. The Russian ministry was extraordinary. The food banks, the clothing, quite an extraordinary ministry. They had their building had just been burned, and they got a new place. You know, God, it's really hard to get around God's blessing. You can try, but it's really difficult. So some folks who didn't like him burned down their building, so God gave them a better building.
Amen.
And instead of people being scared away, more people came. You know, it just kind of works like that. If you try to fight with God, I've never known him to lose. I got this book, and it tells me all the time he just keeps winning. However, we just keep fighting, and we keep losing. It would be such an extraordinary blessing to be able to stop the striving and work with him cooperatively instead of him working in, it would be nice to cooperate with God. Of course, that will require us to hear him. And tonight, I believe we shall. Dan, why don't you make your way up here? By tomorrow, I'm pretty sure we will have the PowerPoint and videos up and working. I am sorry about this tonight. In any event, he says he doesn't need him. Something tells me he's a preacher. So I'm getting this discernment. Let's pray for you and... Are you a wanderer, or do you stay close?
I'm a wandering Jew.
Can we get one of those wandering Jew mics? We have them. Lord God, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for my brother and for the vision that you've placed on his heart. And I pray, Lord God, as he shares with us, and that this vision would excite us. I am so excited to hear of the things that he's told me so far and of what I heard on the PowerPoint. And I ask, Father, that you would prepare our ears to hear and to rejoice with him in these matters. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless.
Thank you.
Wandering Jew.
Ah, okay.
What a novel concept.
It's our people's destiny. So,
well, you are familiar with these, right? You got to turn it on and all that stuff.
Yeah, this right here, right?
Okay.
Well, I think it's on. Hello? No? Okay. Got a dead battery.
Is the light on?
No, it's not on.
I don't have my glasses on. No, it's off.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, you can't hear me?
Yes.
All right. Worse yet, can you see me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Amen. Well, I'm delighted to be here, and I want to thank Bert, first of all, for giving me the opportunity to come and stand on this pulpit. Roe Israel is... got a fabulous reputation. It's known far and wide, and I will try to do my best to be able to uphold all of the great history that this congregation has. But I'll fall short for sure, so please forgive me ahead of time. It's true, my wife, Devorah, and I, hun, would you like to stand up and just say hello? This is my Gentile wife who married this wandering Jew and cast her lot and faith with the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And that's no small feat, especially in today's world. If you've been following events that's been going on in Israel for the last 8 to 10 months, it has been anything but peaceful. So I feel very blessed to be able to share with you. We have a vision which God put on our heart about a year and a half ago called Bless Israel Network. And there you see on the screen. So what is Bless Israel Network? What are we doing? Who are we and why are we here? Well, if you can go to the next slide, Bless Israel Network, and if you can just click all the couple little more points on that slide, that's our program. But I'll tell you what we are. We are a media organization which is based in Israel. My wife and I became citizens of Israel in February of 2011. And being a Jewish believer in Yeshua, and my wife being a Gentile believer in Yeshua, okay, that's not an easy thing to negotiate. And so we lived in California all of our lives, and we got the calling to move to Israel. And when God calls, you know, I mean, what are you going to do when God calls? Are you going to say, no, I'm busy? So, because he's busy every day. So what are we going to do? Say, we're busy? No. So we answered the call. And in January of 2011, we finished selling our home. We put all of our earthly belongings in a container. We had a freight forwarder ship it to Israel. We went, walked into the Ministry of Interior, and applied for citizenship without having our citizenship, with our belongings having been shipped. Talk about either walking in Meshuggah or faith. You know, our friends in California said, are you guys crazy? You're moving to the most dangerous place on earth. The Jews that I grew up with and I went to shul with, okay, they looked at me like I was crazy. So are you moving to Israel? And even believing friends that we have asked the same question, and our response to that has always been the same. See if you could relate to this. Our response has been, we would rather be in a so-called unsafe place in God's will, under his protection, than to be in a so-called safe place outside his will and without his protection. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen.
So that's what we did. And we arrived the 18th of January, 2011, February 7th. Less than 3 weeks later, we both had Israeli citizenship on the same day. She didn't get residency. She got full citizenship just like me. So we could walk arm in arm and say, we're both citizens of Zion. Wow, is that cool or what?
Amen.
So after we were there for a while, we started to look around. And we've had a Jewish Roots teaching ministry for a number of years called God's Everlasting Covenant. And we have a website, godseverlastingcovenant.com. I'm not here to talk about that tonight, but just to let you know that we have been steeply, deeply committed to the Jewish roots of the faith when we speak to Gentiles. And as I'm sure you know, if there are any Gentiles here tonight, okay, bless your heart, as is pretty typical, most Messianic congregations are largely populated by Gentiles. Now, what's with that? Okay, is that because you feel guilty?
No.
You know, by the way, you know what the difference is when it comes to guilt between Catholics and Jews? Jews are the landlords, Catholics are the tenants. Okay, can you relate to that? Okay, so it's wonderful that a growing number of Gentiles have gotten a hunger for what God really didn't want to see separated and go these different ways and misunderstand each other so many centuries ago, that you're coming back to the vine, that you're coming back to the root. So it's wonderful. Thank you. It's great to see so many Gentiles. We're delighted. And it is one new man. One of our bylines with our ministry is Jew and Gentile, requisitely distinct, prophetically linked.
Amen.
Requisitely distinct, prophetically linked. So as we began to survey what was going on in Israel, we noticed something. We noticed that a guy named John Hagee, who we've all heard about, done a lot of wonderful, wonderful things, has brought Israel to the forefront, goes to the AIPAC meeting all the time, stands up with his Texas fervor and his cowboy boots on, and you get shivers when you hear the guy talk. It's great to see a Gentile talk about Israel like that. It's wonderful. And he's blessing the Orthodox community in Israel. And he's done it year after year after year. He started in 1981 in San Antonio. He had a very rough time in the beginning because the Jews are like, well, who are you? What are you doing? We're going to come and sit with you? Okay, you're a Christian. You're an idolater. You pray to three gods. You want us to come and sit with you? You're going to convert us. What are you talking about? So he had a very rough time in the beginning. But to his credit, he continued the course, and he has, over the past 30-some-odd years and more, developed a wonderful relationship with the Orthodox community in the United States and in Israel. And he's done some wonderful things. But there's one thing that John Hagee and others like him haven't done, and we notice this, and that is they haven't established a relationship with the believing Jews. And so the believing Jews in Israel are wondering, wait a minute. We share the same scripture. We share the same Messiah. We share the same God. How come you're not coming and hanging out with us? How come you're not coming and blessing us? Well, those of you who are familiar with what goes on in Israel, it's a Jewish country. And John Hagee had to make a decision who he's going to establish his relationships with. So he made a decision quite some time ago to enter into a non-proselytizing relationship with the Orthodox Jewish community. And it took him some time to establish that trust. And I don't blame the Jewish community for being a little bit skeptical. But after a while, the trust was established. And he has a vibrant relationship with the Orthodox Jewish community in Israel. And we think that's wonderful. But then we started to pray, Lord, isn't there someone who's going to try to give a voice and bless the Jewish believers in Israel? And we kept praying and praying and praying. And eventually it kind of dawned on us, hey, let's give it a shot. Why not? Because those of you who are familiar with the lay of the land in Israel, the Jewish believers are feeling kind of wounded, kind of isolated, because after all, they share the same Messiah, and yet the Christian leadership, when they come to Israel, they go, there's a highway exit sign that says Jewish believers. They go right past it and go to the Orthodox exit sign. So the believing Jewish community in Israel is kind of left isolated, wounded, and wondering, hey, is there someone that's going to try and give us a voice? Well, believe it or not, as tiny as Devorah and I are, we've felt that this is what God put on our heart. So we started Bless Israel Network with the intent of giving the first ever dedicated platform and worldwide voice to the believing Jewish community in Israel. So their voices can be heard, and they can get blessed, and you can connect with them. And let me give you some more details about that so you'll see what I'm talking about. Can we go to the next? Well, by the way, if you back up for just a second, our first program, which is what we have just started out, is called Revelation to the Nations, and that's our wonderful logo there. So can you go to the next slide? Ah, there's my wife. And there's me looking at her, which is what I like to do because she's a lot prettier than I am. And she is saying, even though we're not playing the video clip, I'm going to share a little bit with you about what these clips would ordinarily say had we got the technical issues resolved. Yes? You want to try? Vaila, give it a try.
believers in Jesus, who we call Yeshua, go back to the Hebrew name. Revelation to the nations will give the Jewish followers of the Messiah a voice out to the world for the very first time.
How about that?
Amen.
Okay. So what you're seeing here, and we may play a few more clips, but essentially what we're doing, okay, and I'll give you the nuts and bolts of it so you can understand. There are several fairly well-known Jewish believing ministries and congregations in Israel. As Bert mentioned, Eitan Shishkov has one of the most vibrant and well-known ministries in all of Israel, okay? Now, we interviewed Eitan on our program, and I'll tell you why we did that versus what we're going to do typically. What you may not know is outside of maybe 10 or 12 very vibrant congregations and ministries in Israel that have the resources to send their leadership around the world to speak and collect resources and bring it back and keep their ministry going, about 90% of the ministries and 90% of the congregations in Israel are underfunded. They're on a smaller scale, and they do not have resources to send their leadership around the world to get support for what they're doing. It's this 90% that we have made a commitment to give a dedicated voice to. Now, what do I mean by dedicated voice? How are we going to do this? What are you guys going to see? What we're going to do is we are going to go from ministry to ministry, from congregation to congregation, and we are going to sit with the leadership one-on-one, and we're going to interview them, and we're going to record it. And then that way, when you tune in to one of the programs, you'll be able to see and hear firsthand what that particular ministry or what that particular congregation is doing in Israel on a day-to-day basis to help build the kingdom. And that's what we're all focused on.
Absolutely.
When the right number of Jews gets down on their knees and cries out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, guess what's going to happen? That's the goal. So we're trying to do our little part to help nudge that along. Okay? Now, we all know it's going to happen in His timing, not ours, but we are called to do our part to help facilitate that. So when we record an interview, and maybe we can move forward a little bit to the next slide and see what we got there. Do we have Eitan on the... there, okay. So there is Papa Eitan, as they call him in Israel. He's a papa to five congregations under Ol Halei Rachamim, and he's got a beautiful vision, which is why we interviewed him. So if we can play that clip, and you can see, hear a little bit from Eitan directly, I'll share more with you. Okay, so what's he talking about there? We interviewed Eitan because he's got a wonderful vision, and unlike the 90% who are small and underfunded, he's got something which is on a grand scale. What he's doing is he's put together a team, and he's actually toured the U.S. a couple of times. He'll be back again, I think, next month or the month after. He's been touring with Paul Wilbur, and he's got it's called Operation Four Winds, and he is trying to secure some land in the Galilee, or the Galil, for those of you who are more familiar, okay, in the Galil, and it's called Fields of Wheat. And what is it? You may not know this, but in Israel, there's virtually no messianic infrastructure whatsoever. Here in the U.S., if the Presbyterians want to have a national conference, they've got a dedicated place they can go. They have real estate all over the place. If the Methodists want to do it, same thing. They've got real estate. The Catholic Church, oy vavoy. So, you know, in Israel, there's virtually no messianic infrastructure whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it's rare for a messianic congregation to even own the building that they meet in. So what Eitan is trying to do is get together enough funds to purchase a piece of land in the Galil, which would become a national conference hospitality hosting center. So when immigrants come, they'll have a place where maybe they can stay for a while and settle in. When volunteers come that want to work with believers in Israel, they'll have a place where they can stay. If the Messianic body wants to have a national conference, this place will allow that to happen. It's God willing, it'll be the first ever Messianic National Hospitality Conference Center in all of Israel. So we sat with Eitan and we interviewed him for our pilot program. Now, as I said, he is not the typical interviewee because his congregation and his ministry is thriving. We plan to interview the 90% of the smaller ones who need a voice, who want to be heard, who need to be heard. Because I'll ask you this question. Where do you go on the internet, on TV, or wherever, if you want to hear firsthand information directly from a representative of the Messianic body that will tell you what they're doing on a day-to-day basis inside Israel? Where do you go? There's lots of Israeli media. I mean, you can go to Haaretz online, you can go to Times of Israel online, you can go to Aretz Sheva online, and Israel Video Network, and so on and so forth. But where would you go if you wanted to see Messianic believers saying, this is what our congregation is doing to help build the kingdom. This is what our ministry is doing to help build the kingdom. Where would you go? There isn't. So this is exactly what God has called us to do. So we will sit with the leaders. You will be able to see and hear them firsthand describe what they're doing to help build the kingdom. And the next part of it is we're going to provide their contact information. So if you as an individual, or Roe Israel as a congregation, or let's say a Christian church, you know, a tiny little church like Faith Bible Chapel, or another tiny little church like Resurrection Fellowship, you know, these really tiny ones, right? So if Pastor John Wiggins up at Resurrection Fellowship, or if, you know, George... what's George's last name? Morrison, there you go. At Faith Bible Chapel, okay, who's been there for many, many years, if they as a church want to establish direct relations with one of these ministries whose leader they see on the program, they'll be able to because we're going to provide their contact information. They'll be able to bless them. And so if blessing starts pouring in to any one of these ministries who we interview, what do you think they're going to do with that blessing? They're all doing humanitarian outreach in Israel, so that blessing is going to go right to their humanitarian outreach program, which includes sharing the good news, which means that if you as an individual with a couple of clicks on your computer at home, or this congregation, or Resurrection Fellowship, with the mighty resources they have, decides to start blessing any one of these ministries, guess what's going to happen? The outreach is going to be increased. The number of Jews are going to come to faith is going to increase.
Amen.
Let me hear that again. Amen?
Amen.
You're listening to this? Okay. He's hearing. He's hearing. He's not busy. That's for sure. He's not busy. He's up there going, attaboy, attaboy. So the whole goal of what we're doing is to get Yeshua back.
Amen.
Okay? And the way we're going to do it is by giving you the opportunity to see and hear firsthand what the Messianic believers are doing in Israel so you can partner with them. Now, let me tell you how the whole process is going to work. Right now, we're starting out. We're very young. Well, I'm not young, but the ministry's young, okay? My wife looks a lot younger than me, and she is younger than me, which is good.
Not by much.
Not by much, okay. But listen, how are we all going to enter the kingdom? Childlike faith? Okay, so let us not forget. So we started this, and to be honest with you, we're pretty small at this point, okay? We're just now beginning to schlep around. Okay, for Gentiles, that means run around, walk around, crawl around, swim around. And we're talking to different churches and Messianic congregations that are kind enough to give us the opportunity to come and share. And so in the beginning, at this particular stage of developing the ministry, we actually are praying for resources so we can produce the programs that need to be produced so you can see and hear what we're talking about, okay? Now, we can go, I think, a little bit further along, and maybe I can show you a little clip with Eitan. Can we keep going further and see if, okay, we'll just run with this for a second. I'll share about some ministries so you get firsthand information. But the point is that we're starting out, and we actually need the resources in order to be able to make this happen. Once we get to the point where someone says, Lord willing, hey, what you're doing is really neat, we're going to sponsor your whole project. At that point in time, nothing is going to come in that's going to go to us. Okay? We want to pass 100% of any incoming donations to any ministry who you see interviewed on the program. That is our goal, okay? And that's going to happen. But we're young right now, and we need to build this whole ministry up so folks will have an opportunity to see these programs, okay? So let me share with you a couple examples of some of the ministries that we're talking about. Can we go to the next page? Great. This is, and hit once more. Yes. Abundant Bread of Salvation. This is run by a gentleman named Brian Slater. It's in Netanya. We all know where Netanya is in Israel. It's about maybe 30 minutes or less north of Tel Aviv, right on the coast. Kind of a thriving French community in Netanya as well. And the Russians are everywhere. So their ministry, we can go to the next slide. They do a number of things, and you can just click each one of these. This is what they do. They have a soup kitchen, food distribution, furniture distribution. Stop right there. Holocaust survivors. 200,000 Holocaust survivors are alive today in Israel.
Wow.
200,000. Of that 200,000, 1,000 of them are at least 100 years of age.
Wow.
Now, obviously, these are not young people anymore. They are in frail health. Many of them live alone. And this wonderful man is doing what he can to help them. Can we go to the next? Click. Okay. He sets up, among other things, besides food and what have you for them, he gives them trips. And he talks from a biblical perspective when he takes them out. And he's not shy about it. He doesn't try to use coded language. He's very direct about it. We can go to the next slide. Uh-huh, okay. Medical assistance, hit the once more, please. This is a photograph of his food distribution center, which I took a couple of weeks before we came here. Next slide. This is something that he does on a regular basis for the Holocaust survivors. He has what he calls a royalty dinner. And the Holocaust survivors are treated to a catered meal at a nice restaurant. And boy, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, wonderful occasion. Now, the Holocaust survivors, I'm going to share something else with you. Of the 200,000 Holocaust survivors that live in Israel today, 25% of them live in poverty. That's not right. These poor people, God spared them from the ovens. God rebirthed Israel in 1948. These people found their way to Israel. They've survived so much. As far as we're concerned, it's terrible that after everything they've endured, they're now living in poverty. It's not right. So Brian's ministry is helping them. And we want to help Brian. He is one of the interviewees that we will have on our program. A wonderful man. Can we hit the next slide? His goal is to expand what he's doing, to address the overwhelming need of the poverty-stricken, which includes Holocaust survivors. Now, I'll share something else with you that is not something you'll read in any newspaper. The needs of the Holocaust survivors in Israel is so significant that the government is unable to meet it on its own. So guess what's happening? Ministries like Brian's, who are run by Jewish believers, the government is actually entered into a partnership, and they are working together to help the Holocaust survivors in Israel. That is something which you will not read about in the newspapers. It would not have been possible 10 years ago. It would not have even been possible 5 years ago. But as Bob Dylan once said, the times, they are a-changing. And it is absolutely true. In Israel, the times, they are a-changing. So it's this wonderful partnership has developed between the government and Messianic believers, because the greater cause is serving the needs of the Holocaust survivors. So the government is willing to blink their eye, look the other way, and partner with Messianic ministries. I think that's wonderful. Next, click again. Making a difference. Oh, yes, there you go. Jerusalem Post, 50,000 Holocaust survivors living in poverty. We want to help them. We want to help them. Next. Can we click? Ah, there's Brian, the one with the glasses and the hair on his face. Okay. Okay, so can we go to the next one? There's another ministry called Streams in the Desert. This is run by a wonderful lady named Mariana Goal. And what she's doing, if we can go to the next slide, we can share what her serving blessings are. She's go right on through. She's got a ministry to single mothers, ministry to children. She's helping them with school activities, hiking. She's giving financial assistance, a liaison with the government programs. And in Israel, you think there's bureaucracy here. Wow. Wow. What, hon?
I said, you ain't seen nothing, baby.
Yeah, okay. That's a direct quote. You ain't seen nothing, baby. Sure. Okay. It's true. Israel has a tremendous amount of bureaucracy. So she is helping these folks and doing a wonderful job. Click again, please. This is a prayer-based ministry. Keep clicking. Yep, prayer-based. Once again, reaching out, hands, and next. Their goal with support is to serve the needs of more families, the growing number of immigrants, and classes for mothers, and they really do need help. So she's also doing a wonderful thing. Next, that's Mariana, a wonderful woman. And she's down in the Negev, and it's hot right now. Let's see, this is August the 12th. It's probably about 113, but yeah. Next. The last one I'll highlight is this one. This is a network of kindergartens. This is run by Adil Sapir. Please go to the next slide. What they're doing, this is their serving needs. They're providing an alternative daycare center for children whose families, whose parents are working and really can't afford to spend the money for a traditional daycare center in Israel, which is very costly. So they're trying to provide something of equal or better quality for a lower cost. The problem is that their staff keeps leaving to go find better paying jobs. So they're hoping that their support, that will they'll use their support rather to try to keep their staff people on a more dedicated basis. Okay? Next. They're pouring love into the children. There's a photograph. Next one. And there you see the sheriff is in town with the Magan David on his hat. Okay, and this is their goal, to increase what they're doing. They need to help the children, and they want to do it at a lower cost than the traditional daycare centers. Next, there's Adil, the one with the blue shirt, and you can go to the next slide. You can just click right on through this slide and go to the next one. Next one. Yeah, there we go. Bring up, we have a Facebook page. And so why we're here tonight is to share this vision with you. If you do believe that this is something worthy, and we pray that you do, if you believe that it's time that the Messianic body in Israel have a dedicated platform and a voice so anyone around the world with an internet connection can see and hear firsthand what they're doing and connect with them and bless them. You can, right here from Colorado, you can help grow the kingdom by pouring in whatever God puts on your heart. So we can go to the next slide. The thumbs up. All right, like us on Facebook. There's Eitan, and if we can play this clip, it's a little prideful, please forgive me, but this is Eitan's reaction to what we're doing.
I really appreciate and love the two of you for reaching out and seeking to create this connection with people in the nations, because it's so necessary for people to know us as human beings, and for people to see and feel what's happening here in the land, because I think there are many people, I think there's a great reservoir of interest in and of desire to be involved with what's happening in Israel, but people just don't know. And so, thank you for giving us a voice.
You're welcome, Papa Eitan. Happy to do it. Next slide. Who likes what we're doing? Well, there are a few people. Oh, yes, you are. Yeah, I'm sure you are, but I want to give you some examples of some folks that aren't here tonight, but you may have heard of, okay? Click once more. Jonathan Bernis, president, CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries. He's absolutely nuts about what we're doing. We've been very blessed not only to know Jonathan, but to have his support. Next slide. Rabbi Yitzhak Shapira. You guys know who Sahi is? He wrote Return of the Kosher Pig. Okay. You haven't heard of that book? Okay. The title right alone, Return of the Kosher Pig, mazeh, okay? Mazeh. Well, in essence, Return of the Kosher Pig, he's an Orthodox Jew that became a believer a number of years ago, raised in Israel. He has studied Jewish writings, not just the Tanakh, but he's gone into the Talmud, the Mishnah, everything, and he has come up with a wonderful book which proves through Jewish writings that Mashiach is divine.
Amen.
Mashiach is divine in Jewish writings. So his ministry is focused on letting his own people know that Mashiach is divine. So if you haven't heard of Return of the Kosher Pig, you can get it on Amazon. His ministry has just exploded. We're very, very proud to call him a personal friend. He's invited us to do some recording at his place in Texas, and we're hopefully going to see him again when we get back to Texas in another 10 days or so, or maybe less. I can't remember. Our schedule is so crazy. But yes, he's supporting what we're doing. Next one, Boaz Michael, who is the president and founder of First Fruits of Zion. Have you folks heard of First Fruits of Zion? Okay, it's a wonderful messianic ministry. They're focused on opening the eyes of the Goyim, opening the eyes of the Gentiles to the Jewish roots of the faith, and they do it in a very loving, practical, graceful way. And Boaz and Amber now live in Israel. They've been there for a couple of years, and so he's supporting what we're doing. Once more, and this is Dr. David Reagan, who is the president and founder of Lion and Lamb Ministries, which is a Christian organization. This gentleman has been to Israel approximately 50 times, loves Israel, loves the Jewish people. We're going to see him in about another 10 days or so when we're back in Texas. So, next slide. So, sowing into the kingdom. I don't want to belabor this point. You can bring up everything that's on the slide right now. Bottom line is, we know that here in the United States, some of these things are very readily available. Pizza, movie, Starbucks. We're asking people to pray about sowing if you can, if you feel led, if what we're doing touches your heart. Sowing as little as $25 a month into our ministry. If you feel called to do that, Baruch Hashem, God bless you. Okay, and we have a number of ways you can do that. We have a website. You can go to the next slide. That's what the page looks like on our website. If you choose to donate online, we don't need to belabor the point, but I just want to show you that in case you go there. Go to the next slide, please. If you choose to write a check, we are part of 501c3 ministry. So in order for us to process checks, it needs to be made out as you see there. If you wish to make it blank, that's okay too. But we do ask you to pray, and maybe even as a congregation, if you feel led to partner with us as a congregation. There is a growing number of congregations that have decided this is a worthwhile endeavor, and so they're partnering with us on an ongoing basis. I don't want to belabor the point other than to say, please pray about it. Do what God calls you to do. We have envelopes. My wife has envelopes. If anyone wants to take an envelope with them tonight, she has them. Also, we have a sign-up sheet. If any of you want to get connected with us, okay, we send out regular updates. We send out a weekly news update, which has wonderful, enriching material that's related to Israel and the body. We do that once a week. We also have a monthly prayer and teaching newsletter. We also have a Facebook page, and my wife puts up some real wonderfully enriching material on our Facebook page. So if you would like to get on our mailing list, please take the sheet, fill it out. The only real serious request we have is when you write your email address, please write as clearly as possible, because if I can't read your email address, guess who's not going to get an email? Okay, so just please pretend I'm just learning English, okay, and write it in block letters or whatever, but just make it as easy as possible so I can understand it, okay? So that's our ministry. That's what we're doing. Bless Israel Network is who we are. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them either here or after service. I will be back tomorrow, and I'll be speaking at the regular Shabbat service tomorrow as well. So if you would like to come back, and if you can stand looking at me again, you're welcome to. Or if you know anyone else that didn't come tonight, you'd like to invite them to come, that's fine. But I would like to thank you for the opportunity to share this ministry, and I hope you feel that this is a worthwhile project. Thank you so much.
At the Oneg to for Dan and Devorah to share with those after the praise and worship service. This is very exciting to me when it will be a real blessing to be able to have these smaller ministries. Not everyone is like Ishai, who came here last week. Not everyone is able to make the trip to the United States. Not everyone is connected with people in the United States. And so this will be quite remarkable. There are none of these ministries that you brought up was I aware of. And they all seem to be doing an excellent, excellent job. And you're right. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, partnership with the government of Israel just simply would not have been possible. When I was General Secretary of the UMJC, we tried so hard to break in, and that's when I came up with my definition of ministry. Take your face and smash it into a wall and don't stop. That's called ministry. It was unbreakable, and now the Lord, over the course of 20 years, the wall's coming down, and I'm very, very blessed about that. Our people have the testimony of Yeshua all over the land. First time I came there, I wept when I got to the end of Ben Yehuda. There's an arch, and the words on this arch at the end of Ben Yehuda Street, which is where everybody hangs out. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? my God, why have you forsaken me? And eventually, if we are in the times I believe we're in, Israel is going to get less and less blessed by people in the nations. And they're going to start asking that question. And the Lord is going to open our eyes. And many will cast their gaze towards the heavens and cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And from the Lord's own mouth, he says, that's when you'll see me. So these kinds of things are worthwhile to support, and I ask that you make out the checks to Roi Israel. We'll accumulate all of them. I'm going to be passing around the buckets that we keep for special people. This way we don't have to go through the pushkas and separate everything out. Make it out to Roi Israel. We'll put them all together and get him some money tomorrow after service. And please take those envelopes and consider supporting this ministry. It will be, I suspect there will be great fruit from this. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for my brother and sister, and I thank you for the vision that you have given to them. And I ask, Lord God, that this vision come about in a more spectacular way than they're even considering. That every one of those ministries that he spoke of and the others that he did not get a chance to speak about, that they would rise up and be lights in the midst of darkness, that they would show your love abroad, that they would bring comfort to those who mourn, that our people would see your face in their eyes. Lord God, bless this. Pour out your blessings, pressed down and shaken together, greater than they can even imagine, greater than they can receive. And may the land of our fathers prosper. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. Amen. Well, I didn't know. Glad I took a chance. Didn't know you from Adam. I suspect that'll change. So God bless you guys, and after the music service, we'll adjourn to the Oneg. And music's team's going the other.